Good morning, everybody. God is so good. I do love the relationships that people have in this church because there's some good fellowship going on. It's hard to find our seats at time. I love that. Anyway, I just wanted to open up with 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 22. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit, don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good, stay away from every kind of evil. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your mercy, we thank you for your love. We thank you that this body of Christ wants to serve you. We just thank you for your mercies as we draw our hearts and teach us, Lord, from one another. Teach us how to love each other. Teach us how to walk with each other. Teach us how to be inconvenience so that Jesus gets the glory. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for all the things that you are doing here in our body to help us to grow together, to help us keep our eyes on you, even though the distraction of the enemy, his desire is to hurt us, to tear us apart, and you will have nothing to do with that. We thank you, Lord, that you are just continuing answering prayers and moving upon your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Mike, I think you're up, brother. Okay. Oh, well, I could, but it will sound a lot funnier when I play the piano.
It's good to be together in the house of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yep. You know, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, but we gather in a building to celebrate Jesus, and that's important to remember. Wherever you go, there he is. Right? We bring them with us. House of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord. You ready back there?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our first song up. Here we go.
We worship the God who was. Who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds a victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout on him, pray. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There you go. We shout it out, Lord. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. Cause he hung upon that cross. Then he rose up from the grave. My God's still rolling stones away. Here we go. There's joy in the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, 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 we shout out your praise. Here's my favorite part. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. 'Cause we were the beggars. Now we're
Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet, no. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, 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 we shout out your praise. We were the beggars. Let's go back to that one again. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. 'Cause we were forgetters, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Praise you, Jesus. You're wonderful, Lord. Thank you so much. How about chain breaker? Jewelry store owners don't like Jesus in their store. You know why? He breaks every chain. You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice for the same old lies. You know what I mean? You've been trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need sailing, He's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chain, He's a chain breaker. Amen. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know that just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. Yes, He is. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking savior. If you've got pain, He's a chain breaker. You believe it, you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify. You believe it, you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, you receive it. Somebody testify. Come on. Oh, if you believe it, you receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify. If you've got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking savior. You've got chains. He's a chain breaker. Yes, He is. It's cool because right in this moment, we know it's Jesus. We're seeing Him. We're appreciating Him. It's just right there. He's there. He's with us here. And I just think it's cool. He knows we're talking about Him. Praise you, Lord. There's another one by Zach Williams called There Was Jesus. It's a neat song, and I think we should sing that one. It's true that no matter how wayward you go, he's there. He's always with us. You know, even in our sin, the Bible says, if I make my bed in hell, you are there. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? So don't kid yourself. You know, every sinner on the street, man, I read something really cool. Don't tell a sinner how lost they are. Tell them how loved they are. Amen. Amen.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand and start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I had traveled on, there was Jesus.
Amen.
When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus.
Amen.
In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried me the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it but couldn't see, there was Jesus. There was Jesus. For this man who needs amazing kind of grace, for forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay. I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. There was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it, I couldn't see it, there was Jesus on the mountain, in the valley. There was Jesus in the shadows of the alleys. There was Jesus in the fire, in the flood. There was Jesus, always is and always was. No, I'll never walk alone. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. There was Jesus. There was Jesus.
Yes. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Jesus. How about great is thy faithfulness? Can you pull that one out of the hat?
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever.
Father is a discovery. It's an adventure of a lifetime to discover the sweetest relationship on earth. And he continues to, Holy Spirit continues to unveil, unfold, manifest, and open our eyes to see how good he is. He's always been good, but we've not always been aware of how good he is. And another thing I'm going to tell you that he wants to uncover inside of you is the good things that he has put there inside of you, right under your own nose. That you're not aware of. And God is going to, he's continuing to show us, reveal to us what he has placed inside of us. Because it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know these things. Here we go. I got to preach later. All right. But it's true. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You, and therefore, you are complete in him. Say complete in him. It's so good, isn't it? So whatever you need. We're going to do the goodness of God. I like this one because it talks about his faithfulness too. A newer song, Goodness of God. Just continuing to uncover.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never failed me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I must sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Yes, you have. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
This is called I Speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus
till every dark addiction,
till every dark addiction starts to break.
They're breaking.
Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. Oh, I speak Jesus. Oh, your name is like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, over every need. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
An intercession with music, all right? That's good, right?
Wow, God is good. So we're going to move into this time of communion to remember what Jesus has done for us. And Mike, could you be part of this communion process here? Yeah, if you want to come up and talk us through the process as we're getting ready, and then we'll have the our scriptures read. Can I ask you three ladies to help us out, if you don't mind? Awesome. And how about Sherry? It's been a while since we've seen you. I'm going to put you right back to work here, sister. Our brother and sister have been busy, busy, busy in their life of moving and getting family moved and all that type of thing. So, all right. Mike, you want to open us up in a prayer, and then I'll hand out the elements.
There were many times sitting in church when I would pass up communion because I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel good enough. Religion will do that too. You mess your mind up. But you know, the Bible says, don't take it. Don't discern the Lord's body. That means when it says unworthily, that means know that you've been made worthy by his blood. That's what this is about. It's a celebration. It isn't a negative thing. And so guilt and shame and accusation are all the tools of the devil to keep you away from God. It's pretty simple. And so every one of us, the blood has made us worthy. And his broken body has forgiven us, you know, and healed our bodies. So if you need healing today, that's what this is for too. To celebrate his healing and his forgiveness. Amen. Amen. So let's just pray. Father, we open our hearts to you this morning to reaffirm who we are in you, Lord. That let Jesus Christ be established security in us, a sense of worth and value and significance. And as we receive that, Lord, we give it away to those around us, Father, that so desperately need it in a broken world. Let us be made whole in our brokenness. Make us whole so that we can bring a wholeness to other people. Wholeness to marriages, wholeness to the discouraged and the depressed and the addicted. Yes. Yes. And the immoral. Help us to bring a message of wholeness and hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah.
To think in heaven and earth, no matter who it is, everyone's going to bow.
All right, let me go to Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. As they were sitting, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Go ahead and let's eat and drink. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have set all things into play. And even the work that Jesus did, Father, was he obeyed you instead of exerting his own will. We want to be like that too. Continue to renew our minds, Father, that we will be Jesus to this world and that we would make you our priority. I know I struggle with this in my own life, and yet you are patient and you are forever setting a stage to help me grow and to trust you more. We thank you for the renewing of our lives, the renewing of our souls. We ask that your name be glorified indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God is good. And I tell you what, I see his word in action. It's not a book we read and then walk away and hope it all works out. Not at all. God is orchestrating every step of our lives, and things are happening.
I've been reading through the book of Daniel. This is probably my fifth or sixth time through. I'm going to do it 10 times, and I'm going to read the book of Revelation because it's alive. It's more alive today than I believe ever before. So I just wanted to read something that's encouraging. Daniel chapter 7, I watched till the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And this is where I just love this part right here. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Oh, there comes a day. There comes a day. We're in the middle of it, folks. It's coming.
Can you close us in prayer for this?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Oh, God, I thank you that your word is alive and it's powerful. In times of despair, Lord, you give us hope through your word. Your faithful servants over the years who have been faithful by the prompting of the Holy Spirit to write your words on paper in ink, God, that we can have it here today. And for such a time as this, with the things going on in this world, Lord, the current events, Lord, every day more stuff keeps coming out pointing to the end time scenario, Lord. So I pray that your Spirit would comfort us, keep us, pour your Spirit into us, God. May your Spirit rest upon us, O Lord, and give us power and strength, Lord, to preach and teach your gospel and make disciples. Lord, just thank you for today. Thank you for Mike as he speaks today. I pray your anointing would be upon him, God, and that your words would go into us and not just into our ears. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you that you are always intervening with us in a personal manner. It blows my mind, you being God that created this whole world, takes time out to talk to each one of us personally. That is amazing. That's a miracle in itself. And Father, you have things that you are taking us through. Sometimes those steps seem to be a little tough, But you do it on purpose, not to hurt us, but to help us mature in you. And I just am so thankful that you do that. There's times I'm not thankful because it hurts, but that's okay. You want the best for us. You are giving us a future of freedom, a future of service, a future to be Jesus to this world. We thank you. Bless Mike indeed, Lord, as you share your word through him to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, brother.
You ready for the word this morning? It's just, we like to listen and hear the voice of God. So, you know, Jesus, I always like to think about what Jesus said to man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. So there's a, that means he's, it's a now word. He's speaking. He's always speaking. And we need to, whether we're listening or not, right, to hear his voice. We all have that capacity to hear his voice. So, and that's what we're here for. And when we're, as ministers, we certainly want to hear from his mouth what he is saying. And I often say, thank you, Lord, for things that I don't even know I'm going to say yet. Because they will come in a moment. And there are things that you may need to hear that I'm not aware of, and the Holy Spirit is aware of, right? That's the kind of thing we like to minister in, like that. So, praise the Lord. Yeah, Fred and I had a good conversation, and I wrote a few things down as a result of our conversation. And one of the things you mentioned, Fred, is that you like to share your vulnerable with your needs and your weaknesses. And what that happens is when someone is willing to, you know, expose themselves, their weakness, other people feel safe to do the same thing. You know, you don't have to put on pretense and fake it. That's, I like that. And hopefully in our churches, we have create a safe environment for all of us to be able to open up our hearts and be real, you know, right? So. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And I thank you for the results that within the Word contains a seed that has the power to bring salvation and blessing and increase the level of the quality of each one here today. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, exponentially just raise the quality of life. Let us know what it meant. You meant when you said abundant life, that everything that's been stolen, killed, and stealed and destroyed in our lives would be restored in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And that's so true. John 10:10. The thief comes not but to kill, steal, and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and life more abundant. Amen? I just like that so much. It's what he's came to do, so. I will say this. In the context of John 10, Jesus is speaking about I am the good shepherd. I am the door to the sheep pen. No, you can't come in any other way but through me. There are others who are false shepherds. They are, pretenders. They are those who try to get in another way. And when you begin to believe the words that they say, those teachings will steal, kill, and destroy. All right? So, there are things that you believe, perhaps even still, that the Holy Spirit's going to want to remove from your belief system. Because there are things you have caught through religious experiences and perhaps even sermons you've heard or the way you've always thought of things, the old lens that you look through. The lens. Sometimes we have to look through new lenses to see truth. Things that we've always heard. Jesus said this, you have heard it said, you know, love your, you know, hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. He would oftentimes destroy the traditional thinking of men and present truth. And that's what he's after today. Dismantling, deconstruction, as I was talking to a friend of mine about that, how we have beliefs that need to be deconstructed in our lives. Amen? So that truth can be introduced. And so sometimes we've just heard it wrong. And we need to rehear. We need to, you know, disobedience, it's a funny thing. The word disobedience means to mishear. If I mishear something, I'm probably going to do something that's wrong. How about that? To mishear something. So I'm just sharing with you, dismantling. And I'm open to, I'm teachable. I want to be Holy Spirit. I'm willing to let go of everything that is not from you so that I can embrace everything that is from you. Right? It's just an exchange. Let us be willing to let go of what we previously thought was true Jesus wants to reintroduce us to something that is true. All right? Hallelujah. I believe that. Don't you? The core of my message today is that we, every place where we feel shame and guilt and fear are the very places where that can become a catalyst to cause us to be near to God, cause us to find the grace of God in those places. Rather than run and hide from God, we run to Him with those needs. Let those things become a catalyst for intimacy with God, right? There isn't anything He doesn't know about us anyway. So it's be honest, be transparent. And that is the pathway to progress, to power, to intimacy. And that was kind of what our conversation was about. The pathway to power is actually through our weakness. Isn't that a paradox? Wow. So, let's read a little bit. This was transparency brings intimacy. Oh, it's right there, the pathway to power. Now, and that's the truth. So, God, let's read the next frame, Matthew. Weakness is my friend in disguise. This is just my own musings after my conversation with Fred. It creates in me a dependence on God's grace. The only way to discover His power is to recognize my own weakness. Instead of hiding in shame and fear, we become honest and transparent and walk in the light. Oh, yes. Then we have fellowship with God. That's what scriptures say. And openness with others around us. That's the beauty of it all. If I have nothing to hide, that goes on. When we have nothing to hide, we have nothing to fear. Okay? So not only can I be closer to God as a result of my willingness to walk in the light and be exposed, but I can also walk and be close to you. I can be intimate with friends. See? And it's just all relational. So that's important. Not just with God, but fellowship with others too. That's important. Let's go on to the next frame, Matthew. I want to read some stories. Here's one place where Paul talks about that. Because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. This is, I think it's the Message Bible. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. Yeah, no danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. Next. Three times I did that, and then he told me, my grace is enough, it's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and became appreciative of appreciating the gift. Began appreciating the gift, yeah. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. I like that. I don't like being vulnerable, but it's important. It's an important place. The very thing that God wants to use as a catalyst to discover his power can oftentimes be the very thing that causes you in your mind to become distant from him. You can alienate yourself from God because of your own weakness, and that is all in our own... Let's read on. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Yeah, that's a principle. And we all know it in the King James Version. You know, the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, he wants to put you down. He wants you to make you feel so ashamed of yourself that you don't even go to God with your problem. You know? That's all in our own mind. Alienation is I read that word. See, you judge yourself unworthy, then you create distance from God, and you cut yourself off from fellowship and intimacy with God, and he has nothing to do with it. It's all in your own mind. We do that to ourselves. See? The Lord is actually close to the brokenhearted. That's the very thing that causes him to have compassion for us. Hallelujah. It's so true. I just love that. It's the very thing that I'm ashamed of. It's the very thing that could draw me closest to him. Amen? Oh, I hope that makes sense to you. My goodness. Let's read on. I love these stories in the book, in the Gospels, you know, Jesus' stories here. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. Go wherever you're invited, right? Don't turn down an opportunity, whoever it might be. Don't, you know what I'm saying? That's okay. Jesus did. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. You get the picture. And wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. They became very uncomfortable. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. I'm telling you what, yuck. Anyway, and Jesus answering said to him, because he knows everything, he knew his heart, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. Yes. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears. Oh, man. And wiped them with her feet, with her hair. You see the beauty of the gratitude. She was overwhelmed with gratitude for her forgiveness, because she knew who she was. She knew where she'd been. And she knew how much she was forgiven. And I got to stop right there for a minute. It's those of us who know how much we need forgiveness that will fall passionately in love with the forgiver. Those who know their need for God will experience the mercies of God. And that's what the core of it is all about. It's that we need to know our need for God in order to appreciate and value his love for us. It only deepens our love for him. Yes, it doesn't take away from it. It adds to our passion for him, to know him. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Read on. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. You see the principle here? And I think that might be the working title of my message. Forgiven little, loving little. And that's the deal. The more you know you've been forgiven of, the more passion and love you have for the Father who knows everything and still forgives. Hallelujah. Woo! It only deepens our appreciation for His grace. It's true. And so, knowing that she'd been forgiven, she was abandoning herself. She was reckless in her worship. She didn't care what anyone else thought. She knew she'd probably go into this room being judged and looked down on and ridiculed and talked about, but she didn't care. Her passion for her Jesus at His feet. You see what I mean? And that's where all of us need to be, at His feet, weeping for the mercies of God that have been shown to you and me. It's true. That's the truth. Because we all have needed His forgiveness and His mercy. Every single one of us. Amen. Oh, man. I don't care. You know, I get this way. If you know me long enough, that's the way I am. So, you know, it's okay. Get over it. I get over it. Woo! Glory to God. And He said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with Him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? You hear that religious spirit? Watch out for that religious spirit. It's slithering and it's wanting to work its way in. And He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Hallelujah. Wow. Powerful story. I love that story. She gave the very best that she had. All that she knew to do. She didn't hold anything back. But that which was most precious. And even to the criticism of, I think it was Judas and some of the disciples. Well, you know, that ointment could have been used for the poor. But it was precious ointment. It was very valuable. And this was her way of expressing to Jesus her gratitude, right? For the forgiveness of her sin. Wonderful. Wow. So much in there we can get from these stories. Let's read on. I have another. And Luke 18, I like this one too. Let's read it. Together. And He also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. And they looked down their nose at others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus with himself. Catch that. He was praying with himself. No one was listening. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Isn't that sick, you know? Oh, but He's not finished. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. Tax collector, but the tax collector standing some distance away was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so this man who cried for the mercy of God found innocence with God, found justification. Found himself in right standing with God. Amen? Yes. That's important. I think to receive the benefits of forgiveness and justification, you have to believe that it's true. The just shall live by faith. It's that your faith that will activate the justification of God. Listen to this carefully. Your faith, apart from faith, justification will benefit you nothing. It's there, ready to be received by faith. And when you believe it's true, you begin to benefit from the benefits of innocence and whole and blamelessness. That's what we need. All those things could be true, but I don't benefit from them if I don't believe they're true. Amen. That's so important. So our faith activates the justifications of God. Amen. There you go. Now it's not just a doctrine and a theology, it's an experience. Amen. Wow. So, the just, the innocent, the blameless shall live by faith. That's important. So I want to experience this stuff, don't you? I don't want it just to have a doctrinal position. I want to know. I want to know it in my heart, you know. With a heart, man believes unto righteousness. So, this is good. These are good stories. They illustrate for us the contrast between the self-righteous and the humble. You've got to be humble to receive the good things of God. He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's what it says. Amen. Let's read on. All right, here's another one. Psalm 51. This is David's prayer, you know, after his failure. Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart-shattered lives ready for love. Don't for a moment escape God's notice. That's a message, Bible, again. Sometimes it's just okay to read it from a different translation, get something a little more out of it. But I like that. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I like that, don't you? Let's read on. I like this too, Isaiah 57, powerful, powerful verse, prophetic. And it will be said, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstacle out of the way of my people. For thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. So this high and holy one dwells with those who are lowly and humble. Amen. That's important. God draws close. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. In Psalm 34, it talks about that. I don't think I pulled that one up, but he's near. He's near to us. And he values our brokenness. He sees it. He's aware of it. Oh, my. So, let's read on. I don't know what's next, dear. Proverbs 28, Sandy read this one to me in her daily, her devotions in the mornings. And he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. If you hide your stuff, you're not going anywhere. You're stuck in your stuff until you get it out, right? Don't hide your, you know, it says that, you know, he who hides his sins will not prosper. There you go. But he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Oh, yes. So there you go. How blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. If he is bringing something to your attention, listen, you know, it's okay. Don't be condemned by it. It's not brought to your attention to put you, to destroy you, to put you down, but to, you know, it's a, you gotta be careful. Because there's this condemning voice. There's the voice of the accuser. And he is, like Paul, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Remember that? We read that. And I asked the Lord three times to take this from me. But rather than remove that accusing voice, Jesus, God said, I want to use this in your life to show my grace is sufficient, my ability in you. It's painful. I don't like it either. I don't like the process sometimes. But I think that's an important point. What the enemy meant for evil, God intended for good. He can turn everything into something, you know, useful, right? In the kingdom of God, there's nothing wasted. And it says that, we know that in all things God works together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. What is his purpose? For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So God can use everything in our lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, to conform us to the image of his son so that we look more like his son, Jesus. Amen. And be not conformed to this world. Don't let it squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, that you may know the good and perfect and will of God, you know. So it's this transformation from the inside out that God is looking for. Gosh, it's so easy to listen to those voices that want to condemn. There's a verse in the, Savannah sang this song here, and I love it. It's Lauren Daigle's song. I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. That's religious voice. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Tell me once again just who I am because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, you say I am yours. And I believe what he says. Not the voices of the enemy. Not the liar. The father of lies. It's all he speaks. If he speaks something to you, you can just almost guarantee that the opposite's true. Right? If it's a lie, the opposite is true. So, you know, if you feel this voice, you know, telling you you're a perverted thing. No, I'm the purity of Christ. See what I mean? You might hear perversion, but Christ is saying pure, holy. You might hear guilty, but God says justified, cleared of all guilt. Which voice are you going to listen to? The voice of the accuser or the voice of the affirmer? The affirming voice of God. If you are the Son of God, and God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's the voice we need to listen to. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. That's the one we listen to. And I guarantee you will walk out of your depression, out of your moodiness, out of your bad day, into a powerful place with Jesus. Amen. And you will be positioned. Listen to me carefully. If I'm in my own head and in my own space, I'm not going to be in a place to give anything to anybody else. But if I'm guarding my heart and I'm careful to stay out of my own head, and into God's heart, I become a conduit of his grace for those around me. And I will say things to people that they need to hear in that moment and in that hour. You become a conduit of God's grace and mercy. The Bible says that have your speech seasoned with grace, that you may impart grace to those that hear. Amen? That's so powerful. Oh, I love you folks. You know I love you. And we're going together. We're moving forward in Jesus on this journey. This is a wonderful adventure. Wow. Isn't it fun? You learn to trust him. Because he, jump off the cliff with him and he will catch you. It's that initial jump that's the tough one. I watched some guys, I won't go there, but you know, it's so true. I trust him. I don't have it all figured out. Even when I come up here, as it's weighty, I'm addressing the body of Christ. There's a responsibility to share his word, to know that I've heard from him and deliver to you what I think I've heard. And then the other part is that, you know, that weightiness of that glory. So, but to know that I've heard and to deliver that, to be responsible and accountable. The Bible says don't just assume to be a teacher, because you're going to be held to a greater, accountability, a greater standard, right? Okay? Doesn't mean that you shouldn't be a teacher, but just recognize that you're going to have to live up to what you've been teaching. Is there any more up there? I don't want to miss anything. Matthew, that was all she wrote. Okay, well, wonderful. Woo! Well, love your enemies. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you know, maybe I'll close on this. I give you permission to love yourself. Most of us don't feel very good about ourselves. And yet God has justified you, washed you in his blood, called you righteous in his presence, made you fit you in right standing with him, and seated you in heavenly places for you to feel bad about yourself. You know what I'm saying? What's up with that? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the more deeply you value what God values in you, that you're his treasure, you're the apple of his eye, the more depth and capacity you're going to have to love those around you. That's Jesus' psychology. Amen? Boy, that's important. So I'll just leave you with that note. Learn to love yourself. Love what God is doing in you. There's a little verse, and I'll just stop right here. Philemon verse 6, and it says, the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So we look within. I want to close with a song, Matthew. It's called Gratitude. And I want us to do that one, if you can find that one for us. And we'll close with the song. I don't want to just stop right here. But Lord, I thank you for the seed that has within it the life of God that's contained within the word to produce in us salvation, produce in us the fruit of holiness, the fruit of righteousness, that it will transform my behavior, because we are believing things we've never believed before, things you're going to show us, and we are going to remove from us things that we've believed that have been maybe destructive in our lives that aren't true. And help us by the Holy Spirit to sort those things out and give us discernment and wisdom and revelation in those areas in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. It's just called Gratitude. Hasn't this been fun? Let's just enjoy it.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing new songs, as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do.
And all that I have is a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Sing it again. So come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up.
Is so good there. So go spend time with Jesus and love this world like it's never seen before. Amen.